The word says that we don't fight flesh and blood. So it's not your neighbor that you're fighting. It's not your family that you're fighting. In so many cases, it's not even your own self. It's an entity that's come to destroy. So as we read a lot of these psalms, we understand this. When he talks about man, if you substitute devil in there, you'd be pretty close. You can't take a sword and go cut off anybody's head anymore. But you sure can destroy the devil by the word of God. That's what we stand on today. We don't stand on our emotions. We don't stand on our mental ability to fight. We stand on one thing, the same thing that Jesus stood on. That's the word of God. The psalmist said in 56, "Be merciful unto me, O God, for man or the enemy would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresses me. My enemies would daily swallow me up. For they be many that fight against me, O thou my most high. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word." Did you hear that? In God, when you lift up your voice to him, you begin to praise him for his word. Hallelujah. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger, cast down the people or the enemy, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears in a bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies be turned back. This I know, for God is for me. Why don't you say that this morning? God is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? In God I will praise his word. The Lord will I praise his. In the Lord I will praise his word. Why don't you just lift your hands and thank him for his word right now? Father, we give you glory. We praise you and we thank you, Lord. We stand upon your word and your word alone. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We exalt you. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because he lives. Hallelujah. How many are glad he's alive this morning? Hallelujah. Just sing that with us. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Thank you, Jesus. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And
Because you live,
sing because you live,
I can face tomorrow. Because you live, all fear is gone. Because I know you hold my future.
Hallelujah. Just praise Him for Him right now. We worship You, Jesus. We worship You, Jesus. We praise and magnify You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we magnify You. And we glorify You. We stand on Your word. We give You glory and praise for Your word, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Manuel, could you come here? That's his name, right? Manuel, come here, buddy. Come here. I want you to see the young man we prayed for that had the heart operation. And he's here this morning. He's doing good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sent him all the way to Miami and back. He's going to be able to do everything he should be able to do. Hallelujah.
Yes, he will.
Praise God.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Would you just stretch your faith this way? Father, we just bless You. Thank You for healing. Thank You for going in there with Him in that place. Thank You for what You've done for Him, Father. Give You all the praise and all the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. What's that? He wants to be a pastor. He's going to need a good heart if he had. He had a birthday just a few days ago. Spiritual if we sing to Him, don't you?
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear. Happy birthday to you.
Hallelujah. Amen. You give somebody a great big hug this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just pray and ask the Lord what He'd have you to give this morning? We're just going to do a worship song, and you just listen. And then after that, we'll invite you up. And then we'll go into some word. How many are already having a good time this morning? Praise God. I can tell that by the way you're hugging each other. Hallelujah. By this we know that we know Him if we love the brethren. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. And I believe that love goes beyond this morning too. Amen. Praise God. So let's just worship the Lord just a little bit. And you just listen, and then just a moment we'll give you an opportunity to give. Just magnify Him through this song, would you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll just receive that at the end.
Hallelujah.
Why don't you just turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for a little bit. I'm going to speak about something we very rarely speak about around here, and that's praying in tongues. How many of you know it's the source of revelation knowledge? Hallelujah. He just wants to go over, reiterate some things to you this morning. We're living in the last days. And we're going to need to depend on the Holy Spirit like we never have before. It's the Holy Spirit in this word. But without a teacher, this word's only going to do you so much good. You can read it and read it and read it. But unless the teacher comes along and beside of you and begins to interpret what it's saying, you're not going to have the strength of this word. The one who wrote it wants to be your daily comforter. Did you hear me? The one who wrote this word wants to come in and begin to make the pages become alive to you. Hallelujah. He's the wisdom. He's the instructor. Stretch your faith this way and just pray for me for a little bit this morning. We're going to pray for you this afternoon. Just activate some things in you. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to continue to help us to be a church that are praying the mysteries. Father, we love you. We worship you. We can do nothing of ourselves. Nothing, Father. As He is, so are we in this world. We begin to depend upon you more than we ever have in this life. We're asking you, Lord, to lead us, guide us into all truth. Your word is truth, and we praise you and give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Verse 7 of chapter 2 says this. Paul wrote and he said, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him." You might as well write out to the side of that, that verse right there is talking about your inheritance in Christ. When it says it's not entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared, what it's talking about there is the natural man or the unregenerate man. And then after you get born again, how many of you know that when he birthed you into the kingdom, when the Holy Spirit came in, part of you that he saved was your spirit. He didn't save your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. Your mind doesn't even understand all this stuff. Your mind has to be taught it by the Spirit. First, the Holy Spirit teaches your spirit, and then your spirit begins to relay these revelations of everything that Christ is to you, in you, and through you. We're talking about raising up, God's talking about raising up an army in Immokalee, where the very image of everything that we're going to do is going to be just like Jesus. You probably can't see yourself doing that right now. But the more you begin to look into His Word and the Holy Spirit begins to reflect everything that He is and gets over to you, then by praying out the mysteries, it says here, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Well, what has He prepared? Our whole inheritance in Jesus Christ. Well, when do we get that? When we get to heaven? No, right now. Right now. We get to walk like He walked. We get to walk in the power that He walked in. Hallelujah. We get to have that same glory in our home, in our life. But it says this, it's not been, he says, neither it's entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But God has done what? He's revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, you might as well know right there when he says that God has revealed them unto us, or unto them, talking about the church, unto us by His Spirit. That's really not talking about the Holy Ghost there. That's talking about the new nature that you have. In other words, before you got born again, wave at me this morning if you've received Christ, if you've been born again. The moment that you get born again, you receive a spirit from heaven, which is the Spirit of God. As we've talked about many times before in the past, that's why it's important for you to pore over these scriptures. Meditate them out. Because a lot of times when it says the Spirit of God, it's not talking about the Holy Ghost. It's talking about the Spirit that you received from God, which is your new nature. See, you can't talk to your friend about these spiritual things and that mean anything to him. You can't give revelation knowledge to the world because it doesn't mean anything to them. It doesn't even mean anything to your natural mind. Your natural mind can't look into these things and discern them. It has to take your spiritual mind to begin to discern the things of God. But he says here, God's revealed them to us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. That's why we know it's not talking about. It says, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We know it's not talking about the Holy Ghost there because the Holy Ghost doesn't have to search the deep things of God. Why? Because He is God. He doesn't have to go and say, well, let me see, what did you mean by that, Father? What did you mean by that? No, he's as much God as God the Father. So what it's talking about there is in the Old Testament, in the book of Proverbs, it says, for the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Now you can put it in the New Testament, say, the new born-again spirit that you have. That's the candle of the Lord. In other words, that's the catalyst, or that's the way that God gets revelation knowledge over to you and me. Through that born-again spirit that we have. Now, the moment that you get born again, you're not even going to a spirit-filled church, and nobody gets you spirit-filled. The moment that you get born again, you have the Spirit of God. God steps in there and recreates your spirit. From that get-go, you have the capacity to begin to be taught. But guess what? Without the teacher, without the Holy Ghost, you can oftentimes be left at the mercy of what? Your mind, your intellect. And that's a poor teacher. That's a poor teacher. How many have ever met other Christians that had their revelation, but once you heard it, you thought, man, well, I don't know what page they're coming from. What book have they been meditating? I didn't get that out of 1 John. I didn't get that out. And a lot of times you'll talk to Christians that justify their anger in a righteous indignation. And they'll use the Old Testament scriptures to say, well, that's what David did. He cut off the heads of his enemies. You say, no, wait a minute. That's not the God of the New Testament. That's not the God that I know. He says, but the Spirit searches all things, the deep things of God. In other words, that born-again nature, it has the capacity to receive. But we need a teacher. And then in a moment, it begins to introduce our teacher. For it says, for what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, well, I'll read the rest of it. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And he's talking about our new nature. In other words, what you are in your spirit, that's what identifies who you are. In other words, if you've been born again, you've got the Spirit of God. And without that Spirit of God, you can't know the things of God. You can't discern the things of God. He goes on to say, now we've received not, in verse 12, the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that's our new nature, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's our inheritance. That's those things where he says, eye has not seen, ear heard. Listen, there's a whole, the more that we get into this, and the more that he gets over to us, it's not just the hours that we're spending. God doesn't fellowship with the hours that you're spending praying in tongues. He fellowships with you. He fellowships not with a clock. He fellowships with you, and he's changing us on the inside. And the revelation of everything that Christ is to us and in us in these books, these 66 books, are transforming us into a place where we're really going to believe that we can do the works of Christ. We're really going to believe that we are who He says that we are. Now, the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to transform that over to us, but He does it through that new nature. And it says here, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but what words? What words? But the words which the Holy Ghost teaches. Now, what word? The only words that I know the Holy Ghost speaks is what? Tongues. Now, he can speak to you revelation knowledge, but when He's getting a mystery over to you, that what it's talking about here, which things also we speak not in the words, Paul said, which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with what? Spiritual. So what's happening? What's happening during those hours that you're spending? What's happening during that time? The Holy Ghost is using words. Those words, those very words that you're speaking, those syllables, it doesn't matter how loud you're speaking them. It doesn't matter how fast you're speaking them. Although the faster that you go and the more hours you spend, the more revelation knowledge you'll pray out. But the whole time, the Holy Spirit is teaching, and He's using words. Well, who's He teaching? Is He teaching God? Absolutely not. He's teaching you. And what's He doing? In your spirit, even before it ever gets to your mind, He's comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, He's on the inside, even though we don't hear it like this, He's saying, just like we would to a small child when we're teaching them from the very beginning, little infant. Now, we get way past this as we grow in Christ. Little infant, touch your nose. What's your nose? And they touch their nose. Touch your ear, and they touch their ear. Or we point to certain places, and they name those parts of the body. That's how the Holy Spirit does it as He prays through us, and as we pray in tongues, He takes that which is spiritual, and He compares it to who we are and what we've been created from the very beginning. And that which is spiritual comes from where? From the Word of God. So that the more of the Word that you download on the inside of you, the more that you're praying the mysteries, that's what the Holy Spirit is praying. He's praying the Word of God, and He's praying the will of God for your life. So that every moment that you're praying in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit is saying, you see this? You see this mystery in My Word? This is who you really are. And what He's really trying to do all the time is to convince us, to continually convince us of who we've been made in Christ Jesus. The Word says here in verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, the natural man, you could say it like the carnal man, the man that's out there in the world, he's not going to receive these things. But if you even get it closer to home, you can say this. You're the part of you that's not yet born again, the part of your mind that needs to be changed. You can't take any judgment from that. In other words, you can't discern into spiritual things. That's the part where Satan comes to fight. That's the part that you have to stand up to and say, look, I don't take any judgment in this matter except what the Word of God says. I will not discern these things by my natural mind. The only way that I'll stand up against the onslaught of the enemy, listen, the enemy's a liar, we know that. And he's also an accuser of the brethren. He can do a great job coming against you if you don't know how to stand on the Word of God. Now the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, and as you pray the mysteries, He keeps conforming us to the mind of Christ. He keeps saying, look, this is who you really are. If you think that your natural man or your mind is who you are, the devil's going to keep you defeated all the time. Because he's going to convince you that you're no good, you're not worthy for the Holy Spirit to come on you, you're not worthy to be used by God. But listen, you're not your mind. I can say that. You're out of your mind. Who? Really? Yeah, I've met some Christians like that. No. You are a spirit being. Yes. And that's the place the Holy Spirit comes to. That's the place where the Word of God says that from the very beginning you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's the part where the Holy Spirit comes and compares spiritual things with spiritual. That's the part that He comes and teaches. That's the part where the Holy Spirit does the mortification. Whatever parts of us, listen, I know there's a lot that we need to die to. I know there's a lot of stronghold. But the Word of God says the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. That part, he can't understand them. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges, is the same word discern, he discerns all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He says that the natural man can't discern. In other words, you can't change or you can't take the advice of your mind for the transformation process. That only can come through the Holy Spirit. That only can come through the spirit man. Well, then how does it serve me to pray in tongues? The more that you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit will begin to go to that part of you who is the real part of you, which is the spirit person, and change you from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord, which is that born-again nature. Now, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 28. Well, turn to Isaiah, and then we're going to read just a little bit more in 1 Corinthians. But turn with me to Isaiah 28. Hallelujah. How many are blessed this morning? And we'll go to Isaiah 28 in just a moment, but go to 1 Corinthians 14. There's so much that you could teach out of 1 Corinthians 14. There's no way to ever begin to get into it all. Beginning in verse 1, it says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he does what? He speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is divine secrets. He is speaking as you allow the Holy Spirit to pray out the divine secrets of God's desire for his work in your life. That's the part where he's comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. That's the part where he begins to get you more acclimated to being able to understand what the Word of God is trying to teach you. It says in verse 3 that he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and to what? Comfort. Edification means just to be built up. If I was to prophesy to you this morning, if the Holy Spirit came on me and I began to prophesy a word of the Lord, and we've had some good words of the Lord around here, haven't we? There was one that came last year, I think it was. Homer's read it several times. It gave him a new appreciation for the word of the Lord. The word says here that he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification. Exhortation means direction, means that when we prophesy, there's a direction that comes. You not only get edified, which means built up, means you feel, I mean, something inside of you feels like, man, there's a vitality that comes from God that I didn't have before. Exhortation means a direction. God begins to give you a direction, saying, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to carry it out. And comfort, if prophecy takes place. But it says in verse 4, he that speaketh an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesies, it says, does what? Edifies the church. It just encompasses everything that he said about the church, all in the word edify, which means this: you get the same benefits by praying in tongues personally. If you never prophesy, something's happening to you. You get edified. You get exhorted. It means this: the more you pray in tongues, the more you're going to know what the direction of God is for your life. What do I do? What's my ministry call, Pastor? I don't know. I'm not going to tell you. But the Holy Spirit will tell you what you're supposed to be doing. The more you pray in tongues, there's going to be an exhortation that's going to come over your life. And believe me this, if you're really praying in tongues, you're not going to pronounce something on your life and call yourself some big evangelist and not have the works of God working in your life. The works of God will always back up who you are. If he tells you who you are and you say, well, this is who I am, and you say, well, I'm a teacher, and nobody understands a thing that you're saying, brother, sister, you're not a teacher. But the direction of God will come on you through exhortation and comfort. How many are glad for the comfort of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Verse 14 says this. Paul is talking. Now, we can go into the vacillation back and forth of what should be taking place in the church. But I just want to read this just to remind you of this. Those of you that have been filled and those of you that need to be filled in the Holy Ghost. Verse 13 says, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. And that's in the public assembly. But it says, for I will, Paul said this, I will pray in an unknown tongue. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? He concludes this. He says, I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing in the spirit, or sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. The reason why I read that this morning, that's really talking about what goes on in the public assembly. But I want you to notice something here. When I was a kid growing up, I grew up in a church that we believed in speaking in tongues. But I think probably they believed more that it was as the Holy Spirit wills. And that means this, when you get to feeling real good, or there's your favorite song comes over the radio, and you get like goosebumps, and you say, "Ooh, I feel so good, I feel so good. I haven't spoken tongues in 2 months, but boy, I feel like I feel holy enough right now." And you start speaking in tongues. That's not... The word says here, Paul said, I will. I will. How many of you will to do it? Amen? He said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I'll pray in the understanding also. In other words, from the day that you get born again, you get the license. It's given to you to continually be you're the steward. You're the steward. You know what also is scary about that, though? You're the steward. That's the scariest part. And your spirit gets built up, but the horrifying part is your will is involved. And you know where your will's at? It's in your soul. So your soul, a lot of times, is the determining factor of how much you're praying in tongues. Because if your spirit was the one who got to pray in tongues, he never would stop. She never would stop. Well, there's no gender in the spirit, I guess. But your spirit, I'll just say that. It would fulfill that word that says pray without ceasing. And I find myself more and more, especially the more I need him, I'm praying in tongues all the time. I have to watch myself when I go to restaurants and other places or sit on planes with people because people probably think I'm half crazy. But I'm not. I'm just praying in tongues. But Paul said this, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. He said, I will sing in the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? Do you know a lot of times when we are praying in the Spirit, a lot of times when we're singing in the Spirit, we're worshiping God. Those are worship. That's coming up. He said, we're blessing. We're actually blessing God. So praise God. Paul goes on to talk about what his source of revelation. How many of you would like to have so much revelation knowledge that you could write, be part of writing the Word of God? There's no more of this Word that's going to be written. But you could be a candidate to know as much as Paul did based on this Word. But Paul gives you his source. In verse 18, he says, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than what? Ye all. Hallelujah. He was a southerner. Praise God. No. He was saying to the Corinthian church, if he was here this morning and the Corinthian church was way bigger than Immokalee, he was saying this: all of you put together, all of your tongues. Now, I don't know how that man did that. He must have fell asleep praying in tongues. He must have woke up praying in tongues. I find myself a lot of times coming out of the consciousness of sleep. Even before my mouth is moving, it's coming up out of my spirit. I can hear it in my head. I can hear the words coming up. And the more you pray in tongues, absolutely it'll become a part of everything that you do. It's like you're doing it unconsciously. But Paul said this: I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others. And that key word is the word also. In other words, this is the way I got it. The way I got revelation knowledge, the way the Holy Spirit came to me and taught me in the inheritance and said, look, Paul, when Paul was young, from the very beginning, he began to say, this is your nose, this is your ear, this is your mouth. And he began to, the only thing that Paul had to start with was the Old Testament. That's all he had. So that's all that the Holy Spirit could compare spiritual things to start with inside of his spirit. He began to teach him the new nature. He began to teach him the power. But the foundation was with the Old Testament. But then Paul began to write based on all of the old and based on all of everything that he saw within himself. It says here, Paul began to continue to write. It says in verse 21, in the law, meaning in the Old Testament, it's written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear, saith the Lord. Now, that is in Isaiah 28. We've read that before. Here's the book of the law. Here's where tongues was prophesied in the book of the law. In Isaiah 28, verse 8, and there's so many different benefits to tongues. One, we just read that it was Paul's source of revelation knowledge. One, two, it says and we can't name them. I can't name them all by number. We know that we bless. A lot of times when we're praying in the Spirit, we're blessing the Lord. We're actually worshiping the Lord. Jude says we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and it helps keep us in the love of God. We know that it's strong in doctrine. It helps us stay in doctrine. Let me look at verse 7. Look at verse 7 with me. Look at your neighbor and say, are you still here? Hallelujah. Did they get to 28? Look at them and see if they got to Isaiah 28. Hallelujah. If you haven't, if you didn't go to the Tulsa conference, and that's most of you, I would strongly encourage you to go online and look up Pastor Dave Roberson's website and go on weekly services, and the conference is going to be there. I think they've got one or two services up already. The rest of them will be there. Jim Martin ministered a couple times, and I won't go into it all, but I can tell you this. Once again, he continued to just speak on and prove by the Word of God the importance of, and this may sound like a side road, but it if you'll listen to it, it'll prove to you how important it is that the King James Version of the Bible is where we need to be. There are so many Bibles out there that they have put so many different things in that just one word will change the whole context. Just one little word, and you won't even recognize it. You'll say, "Oh, I love this Bible. I love this Bible." So I love the way my Pastor Dave used to say it. If you don't have a King James, you can buy a real Bible after the service. But if you don't have a King James, don't throw your Bible. Keep reading the one you got until you get corrected. Hallelujah. Don't go home and throw it out and say, I'm not going to read anything. Verse 7 leads in to 8. It says, but they, and it's talking about preachers here, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. In other words, they became intoxicated. Now, it's prophesying here about preachers. about teachers. And it's going to tell you that one of the reasons why that you as the church need to pray in tongues. I've often said here, you go to a church that I stand up here, Homer stands up here every week and tells you how to inoculate yourself against deception. In other words, if you do what we're telling you to do, and it's we're saying this, if you pray in tongues, even if we begin to get off, you won't get off. And the only way we can get off is stop praying in tongues. And if we did get off, then you shouldn't sit here week after week. People nowadays, I used to, 15 years ago, they'd call me and say, I go to this church, and they say this, and it's so, I mean, it's so far out there. And they say, what should I do? I said, you can't stay. How can you stay under deception? I don't tell them that they should leave. I tell them they should make the choice. But I tell them this, if you're praying in tongues and you realize something is feeding you week after week, arsenic that kills you, you have to make the choice of truth. You have to continue in truth. You can't sit week after week. And here's the thing, if you're praying in tongues, and if I get way out there, if Homer gets way out there, don't stay here. Don't stay here. Pray us out of it. That's the main thing. But don't sit here in a place and that's not going to happen. Why do you say it's not going to happen? Because we're not going to stop praying the mysteries. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to pray the mysteries. But look what verse 7 says this. But they have erred through wine and strong drink. In other words, they got totally intoxicated on their doctrine. Through strong drink are they out of the way. In other words, they're not teaching the mysteries of God anymore. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. Now, it's not just talking about what they're drinking. It's talking about doctrinal error. They've erred in vision. They've stumbled in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit. In other words, they're regurgitating to the people what their doctrine is. And it says, for all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach? Now this is to us. This is to all of us, from the preacher to everyone. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk, in other words, growing up spiritually, and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept. This is the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Line upon line, here a little and there a little. And he tells us, for with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. In other words, he tells us there that it's through the Holy Spirit that he teaches us doctrine. And he teaches us against deception. Homer said something very powerful Wednesday night. And I didn't even think about it until just now. I even say anything about it. But he talked about how that sometimes we can get off trying to correct other doctrines and those kinds of things. If we keep praying to the Holy Spirit, we won't have to chase after other ones. We just know, and then the Holy Spirit will teach us. He'll show us, because it's line on line, precept on precept, that the Holy Spirit inoculates us against deception. And he says that he's, but the word of the Lord, oh, and he says in verse 12, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. And they said that they would not, but we receive it. Do we not? Amen? Praise God. How many are glad for the Holy Ghost? How many are glad for his teaching ministry? Praise the Lord. Why don't you stand with me this morning for just a little bit? Let's just worship for just a moment. Praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning and you don't speak in tongues, if you don't have the gift of praying in tongues, We're going to invite you down. If you do pray in tongues and you've not been able to exercise that gift recently, God wants you to flow in it. So as we begin to sing, why don't you just, if you're here this morning and you don't pray in the Spirit, and you'd love to receive, why don't you just step out? And if that's you, or if you're here this morning and you don't pray, or you do pray in tongues, but you haven't been praying recently, why don't you step out as well? So come on down. Let's the rest of us worship. If you're here this morning, hallelujah. Praise God. Anybody? Let's worship together. Lift up your voices to the Lord. Hallelujah. How many are glad you go to this church? Praise God. How many are going to continue to pray the mysteries? Hallelujah. Some of you look scared when I said a while ago, leave if we don't keep praying. Don't leave because we're not going to stop praying. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Hallelujah. We're going to have offerings, baskets up here for you. Hallelujah. Were you blessed today? Amen. So if you have something, bring it forward. If anybody else needs prayer, we're here for you to pray. Father, we just bless them right now. Let your glory fall on them today. Keep them, Father. By your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You're blessed. Praise God.